With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of last night's action in the Championship. 6 games last night, we've got another 6 to come this evening. Plenty to talk about from last night, plenty of interesting storylines, and also plenty to talk about going into tonight's game. We'll be focusing a bit more on Sheffield Wednesday. They're away at Derby this evening, off the back of a good win at home against Brentford on the weekend. We'll also be talking about Leeds. They're back to the top. West Brom do play tonight, who will be attempting to go back to the top. But Leeds looking good, but our fears still lingering about another breakdown in the second half of the season. And we're going to also be talking about Fulham. After 4 straight victories, it's back-to-back defeats for Fulham, and they're now way off the pace compared to the top two. Are they just really fighting for a top six position? If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558, or WhatsApp us on that very same number. And we have obviously some exciting news here at Love Sport. It is that we are going national on Monday, which means that you'll be able to get Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio from the start of next week. So when you follow your team up and down the country or going to and from work, you'll be able to listen to Love Sport the whole journey. No need to worry about being outside of London and not being able to get us on digital radio. You do not need to worry about that any longer. Love Sport live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. Plus, there'll be lots more new fan shows coming soon too. So make sure you stay tuned to that. And obviously, it's great news for us and great news for you, the listeners out there, that we're obviously going national from Monday. You can listen to us on digital radio no matter where you are across the UK. Let's then talk about the Championship. Obviously, plenty of fixtures last night, 6 in total, and another 6 will come tonight. Looking through all of the results then from last night. At Ashton Gate, a bit of a surprise result, saw Bristol City go 2-1 down against Millwall. So a great result for Gary Rowett's side. Bristol City won at the weekend away at Fulham. And you're thinking, back at home, it's an opportunity for Bristol City to continue some momentum. But I mean, quite clearly, we were not taking our own advice of not expecting the expected in the Championship this season, that just as you think you know what's going to happen next, the complete opposite does happen. So a disappointing evening for the Robins fans last night, a good evening for the Lions. At the Valley, it was an important game, a massive game for both sides. Charlton at home on a real slide, looking to get back to winning ways, just 2 wins in 14 games before last night, since the middle of September. Things haven't got better for Lee Bowyer's side. They lost 1-0 at home against Huddersfield. Teenager Matty Daly, what a moment for him. He scored his first senior goal in the 92nd minute to win it for the Terriers. We're talking about Huddersfield bad form. Both sides hadn't won in more than 5 games each. So in theory, one of those runs should have come to an end, and it has come to an end for Huddersfield. It sucks Charlton further and further in. It's now four straight defeats for Lee Bowyer's side. They're being sucked closer and closer to the relegation zone. So a big disappointment for Charlton. They're back on it again on Friday night at home against Hull. That suddenly takes on an even bigger significance, especially after last night's result. At Elland Road, it finished Leeds 2, Hull 0. Although Leeds did have to kind of grind it out. They only scored inside the last 20 minutes of the game. It took them 73 minutes to get the opening goal, but they did seal their seventh straight win with a goal from Alioski, a great counter-attack. At one end, Kiko Kosia made a great save, and the transition between defence and attack was fantastic for Leeds. They have conceded the fewest goals, I think, pretty much around Europe so far at this stage of the season. Only 10 goals conceded in 21 games so far, so a very good defensive record, and another clean sheet for Leeds last night. They continue on their merry way, but I just wonder whether with Leeds fans, they're not counting their chickens quite yet, because they know how things can fall away and how spectacularly things can fall away. So I don't think Leeds fans will be presuming anything quite yet. They are up to the top of the table, although West Brom have the opportunity tonight to return to the top. At the Forest Ground, a disappointing result for the home side, Nottingham Forest, and for their manager, Sabri Lamouchi, but a valuable point for Jonathan Woodgate's side. It finished Forest 1, Middlesbrough 1. A late penalty through Paddy McNair secured a point for Middlesbrough, and for Jonathan Woodgate's side, two wins, a draw and a loss from their last four games, so not a bad return, trying to move away from the relegation zone. At Deepdale, Preston were on a horrendous run, four straight defeats, but a win last night against Fulham. They were 2-0 up. It was a pretty nervy affair right at the end, as Mitrovic scored with about 5 minutes to go in the game. But Preston do get back to winning ways last night, and they are back up into the top six. They might drop out of the top six after tonight's games. But a massive result for Preston, and it just shows Fulham had won four straight games, but now they've lost to Bristol City on the weekend, and they lose to Preston last night. We'll be getting more on Fulham later in the hour. And we were talking about this game from both perspectives yesterday. A massive, massive game. It couldn't be understated at the Bet365. It saw Stoke, who were second bottom going into the night, come up against Luton, who were just outside the relegation zone. We talked to Pete Smith from the Stoke Sentinel, who mentioned the fact that had Stoke lost last night, the gap between Stoke and Luton would have gone to 9 points. And that's a very difficult gap to come back from. But instead, it was an emphatic victory for Stoke. Two goals from Joe Allen secured a crucial victory for Michael O'Neill's side as they ran out 3-0 winners. I thought it probably had a cagey affair written all over it. But in the end, a comfortable victory for Michael O'Neill's side. He started with back-to-back wins, then three straight defeats. But they do get back to winning ways. And it means they're just 3 points now behind Luton. 3 points from safety. Is that the springboard now for Stoke, or will they go back to losing ways on the weekend? Looking ahead to tonight's game before we look at the Championship table as it stands, Barnsley take on Reading. Barnsley bottom of the table, 8 points away from safety. It feels like if they're going to have a chance of staying up, their form is going to have to turn around. And obviously, they're embroiled in a bit of controversy off the field with Daniel Stendel. He's been appointed as the head coach at Hearts, but Barnsley are demanding compensation for supposedly entering into negotiations with a rival club without permission while he was the Barnsley manager. So a big game for Barnsley. At St Andrews, it's Birmingham against QPR, both in and around each other, same number of points, just one place dividing the two sides, both in and around mid-table. QPR's form has dipped quite significantly from about a month ago. Brentford take on Cardiff, probably one of the best, in inverted commas, games of the night. They are split by just one place and 1 point. Cardiff in eighth, who are on a good run, three straight wins for new manager Neil Harris. They're up against Brentford, who are in ninth, who, I mean, their recent form just shows what the Championship has been like this season. Win-loss of their last four games. It's included a 7-0 win against Luton, but then they lose their next game, which is just the pattern that the whole of the Championship has gone on this season. At Pride Park, it is Derby up against Sheffield Wednesday. Obviously, Wayne Rooney will be in the dugout with Philip Cocu for Derby. Are they up against Sheffield Wednesday, who have the opportunity to go back in to the top six? If they were to win tonight, They could rise as high as third. So a big incentive for Gary Monk's side. Derby, a case in point of a side that thrive when they're at home. They very much don't thrive when they're away from home. Swansea take on Blackburn. Again, another game where the two sides are very closely matched. They're on the same number of points. Blackburn, after four straight victories, have now leapfrogged Swansea when it wasn't that long ago that they were in the top six, even the top two. And the final game is Wigan up against West Brom. Wigan are now second from bottom after Stoke's win last night. They've dropped down to the penultimate place in the Championship. And things aren't exactly particularly easy for them tonight, as they host the side that have only lost one game all season and have the opportunity with a win to go back to the top of the table. If they were to draw tonight, Leeds would stay ahead on goal difference. But you'd imagine the consistency that West Brom have shown this season, they would go back to the top. So looking at the table as it stands, obviously, we've had six fixtures this week, six more to come tonight. Leeds have gone to the top of the table after beating Hull last night. They're on 46 points. As I mentioned, seven straight wins for Marcelo Bielsa's side. West Brom are on 45, just 1 point behind them, but they do have that game tonight at Wigan, so they have the opportunity to go back top. Fulham, Bristol City, Nottingham Forest and Preston in the playoff positions. Just 1 point separates those four sides. Sheffield Wednesday have the opportunity, if they win, to go back into the top six. They could rise as far as third. Cardiff, Brentford and Blackburn and Swansea and Millwall are all very, very close to the top six, only a matter of points, a couple of points off the top six. Down near the bottom, Barnsley still hold bottom position. They're in action at home to Reading. That's a massive game at home for them tonight. Wigan are now into the bottom two, 16 points. Stoke have gone up to the final relegation zone on 17. Luton, 20 points, so that gap, that's a massive six-pointer last night between the two sides. They're on 20, Middlesbrough on 21, as are Huddersfield and Reading as well. So very close at the top between those sides. Not really the top two. It feels like if this continues for a few more weeks, even with Leeds' habit of throwing things away as the season goes along, they could find themselves putting too big a gap between themselves and the rest. But the race for the top six is very, very tense, as it is in the relegation spots. Very, very tight near the bottom as well. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about Fulham, whose form has dipped again. They won four straight games, but now they've lost back-to-back games. We'll also be talking a bit about Leeds. As I mentioned, seventh straight win for Marcelo Bielsa's side. They've gone back to the top of the table, maybe only for a matter of hours, but they are back to the top. But up next, we'll be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to share your views, make sure you call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Obviously, we've got some great news here at Love Sport, and is that we are from Monday going national. So you'll be able to listen to Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio. Doesn't matter where you are in the UK, you can listen to us throughout your journey. You don't need to worry about it going out of range. So Love Sport live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. And we're going to be talking about Sheffield Wednesday now. And as I said, from Monday, if you're in Sheffield, you can listen to us on digital radio. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Alex. Let's talk about on-field matters then. Before we look ahead to tonight's game, on the weekend, a 2-1 home win against Brentford, and this is a good side in Brentford that are in and around Sheffield Wednesday. Obviously, it was at home, so Sheffield Wednesday had that slight advantage, but an important win for them against, as I said, a side that will be competing for top six like Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, hi, Kieran. Yeah, really impressive sort of second-half performance. You know, it's a horrible cliche to say it's a game of two halves, but I can't really remember a game in the recent memory that was, you know, so stark between the two halves. Brentford were absolutely dominant in the first half, and Wednesday's performance was fairly shocking. It was one of those that they couldn't quite, you know, string two passes together. And then the second half, there was a couple of changes made, a couple of strong words by Gary Monk at half-time by the sound of things. And like I say, Wednesday were fantastic, and in the end, well worth a 2-1 win.
Another couple of goals for Stephen Fletcher, who's been in good form so far this season. He's up into double figures on to 10 goals. But you look below that, the next highest goal scorer in all competitions, there are a couple, Nuhiu and Kadeem Harris, on 3. So is it fair to say there's maybe an over-reliance on Stephen Fletcher to get the goals, or do you think that there are players there that if Fletcher isn't scoring, they can also step up to the plate?
Yeah, quite possibly. We've put that question to Gary Monk a couple of times, and I think he's right to point out that, you know, a lot of the time Wednesday playing with one man up front is of course Fletcher, and playing to his strengths in quite a direct style of play. You know, there's been no secret the fact that the midfield, the likes of Kadeem Harris and you know, Barry Bannon hasn't scored yet this season. There's a number of players, Adam Reach as well, that haven't been contributing maybe as they would have liked. And yeah, I think, look, you know, it's a long season. We're not even halfway through yet. And if Wednesday are going to stay around in that top six and achieve what they're wanting to achieve, then yeah, they are going to have to get some more goals from midfield and support Fletcher in a more meaningful way. But just on Stephen Fletcher, his form has been outstanding. You know, he went six games without a goal, and with that in there to be on 10 goals and amongst the top scorers in the division, he's been very impressive indeed.
Do you think that win against Brentford is showing that Gary Monk's side are able to put the off-field issues to one side? It's well known about some of the issues that they've had. Obviously, they're being investigated, the charges coming for them surrounding the sale of Hillsborough, the stadium. Do you think, though, that the players are professional enough and that sort of a game, especially a comeback, shows that they are able to switch off-field issues, not worry about them too much and just focus at the job at hand?
Yeah, I think so. We've spoken about it before, I think, Kieran, that this is a very experienced Sheffield Wednesday squad. You know, there's a number of players that have been, you know, at Sheffield Wednesday for 4 or 5 years now. They've got that core to the squad. But, you know, a lot of them, I think there's a stat out there that Wednesday, along with Cardiff, are the oldest team in the Championship. So, yeah, in terms of experience, you couldn't ask for much more. You know, you think back to earlier on in the season, you know, the abrupt nature of Steve Root's departure, you know, 3 weeks to go to the season, you know, there's been transfer embargoes, you know, they had a caretaker manager for a number of weeks and that sort of dragged on, and they were still managing to grind out results. So, yeah, I think there are, you know, perhaps some squads that you'd look at and you think maybe they were a bit more, I don't know, susceptible to allowing those off-field pressures to get on them. But the other thing, of course, is that Gary Monk has been through this all before, you know, similar, you know, it's slightly different circumstances with Birmingham City, but his experience of managing to galvanise Birmingham last year and take them to where he took them, you know, history repeating itself to a degree, and, you know, he's managing to guide them through. And yeah, like we say, the last two results have been very impressive and got them back on track and back towards that top six.
So looking ahead to tonight's game, Sheffield Wednesday head to Derby. Before we talk about team news and look a bit of a look at the opposition, Sheffield Wednesday know that a win tonight, if they won by, I think, a goal or two, due to goal difference, they could rise as high as third place. But considering the form of the top two, the winning runs that they're on, they're just simply finding a way week in, week out to win games. Do you think that there's a feeling for those sides, for Fulham, Bristol City, Forest, Preston, yourselves, Cardiff, Brentford, that realistically all those sides are fighting simply for a playoff position, and those top two, but barring unbelievably ridiculous collapses from both of those top two, which could happen with Leeds, that realistically the sides like Sheffield Wednesday are fighting for a top six spot, not an automatic promotion spot?
I think that's always sort of been the case with Wednesday. You know, they were speaking very early on and before the season, you know, even Steve Bruce, they were always talking about a top six berth. And while, you know, a run at the top two is obviously what every team in the league ultimately is starting the season out to do, I think top six was where they were. You know, I've seen obviously Leeds and West Brom this season, and you know, both fairly impressive. And as you say, the run that they're on, it's looking like maybe those two are just going to pull away and use themselves to sort of keep themselves going and keep their standards high. So yeah, I think, like you say, that there's an awful lot of teams that are in a run at the playoff positions, and yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, once we get the other side of Christmas, we'll see who the real runners and riders are. And of course, you know, if there are points deductions for Sheffield Wednesday, whether they'll be in the mix-up, you know, as we head towards the end of the season.
In terms of team news for tonight, Alex, there'll be no Fernando Forestieri. There's a strong chance that goalkeeper Kieran Westwood is going to be out with a lingering shoulder problem. Do you expect many changes? This is obviously that time of the year where the games are coming thick and fast, and obviously managers are going to have to utilise the squad. How many changes would you anticipate from the weekend going into this game?
sorry to disappoint, but I'm completely done with picking out Gary Monk's teams. He's taken us by surprise too many times. You know, he flitted towards 4-4-2 and 4-3-3, you know, against teams that maybe we didn't see coming. I think what will be interesting is just keep an eye on the role that Jordan Rhodes might play tonight. He came on at half-time for Ati Niuku on Saturday. And although it was one of those, he only had one shot, he wasn't particularly a massive threat in Brentford's box, but he managed to get close to Stephen Fletcher. He ran the channels really well and worked very hard. So Gary Monk's made a play this season about rewarding players that have maybe come in and made an impact from the bench or having not been in the team for a little while. So it'll be interesting to see whether Rhodes might start tonight. I think he may well go with five in midfield, with maybe Massimo Luongo coming in. But like I say, it's always difficult to pick Gary Monk's teams.
Looking at the opposition tonight then, Sheffield Wednesday, it's against Derby, and they've been Jekyll and Hyde, home and away. That at Pride Park, they seem to be on an impressive run and seem to be doing well. Away from home, it's really the complete opposite for them. So going to Pride Park, maybe it'd be a different story for Sheffield Wednesday if they're at home, but away from home at Derby, this is going to be quite a significant challenge, even though Derby are having a very indifferent start to the season.
That's right. I think, first of all, Wednesday have got a fairly dire recent record at Pride Park for one reason or another, going back in the last few seasons. And I think a lot of people sort of looked at the table and thought, "Oh, maybe this is a good idea, a good time rather to play Derby with all the problems that they've been having in the squad and with the new manager coming in and all the rest of it." But then you look at the home record and you think, "Well, maybe this is one that if Wednesday could come away with a point, they might be happy with. You know, it keeps them well within touch of like we say, where they want to be." But it'll be interesting. I think, you know, Wednesday's recent form, like we said, came off that long run of not winning and two good performances down at Charlton and then against a good Brentford side. It'll be a really, really interesting match. It's one that I wouldn't like to pick.
So in terms of a prediction, I know you've said, Alex, how you've perhaps given up trying to predict Gary Monk's selection policy. But going into tonight, as I said, Sheffield Wednesday with a good win could rise as high as third. Do you think it's likely that, or do you think it's more likely to be a draw?
If I was a betting man, I'd say possibly score a draw. But like I say, look, you know, both teams have got half-decent records and Wednesday will be absolutely desperate to put this Pride Park hoodoo behind them. So, I think a lot rides on the midfield. And if Wednesday can grab control of that early doors and maybe score the first goal, that'll be a big moment for them.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Alex. That was Alex Miller, a Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star, looking ahead to that game. And it is remarkable, really, Derby's home and away form. They very much are Jekyll and Hyde, that at home, they are a very good side and a very difficult side to beat. Away from home, they are just utterly terrible and they are there to be had. So I think for Sheffield Wednesday, if they were at Hillsborough, I think you'd be pretty confident in saying Sheffield Wednesday will win. But away from home, it is going to be trickier. As I said, Sheffield Wednesday with a win, their goal difference is 9. Fulham, who are sat in third, their goal difference is 10. So in theory, winning by a couple of goals will take Sheffield Wednesday, winning obviously by a couple of goal margin, will take them up into third place. The feeling I'm getting looking at the top two and the consistency they're showing compared to the inconsistency that everyone else is showing is that at this moment in time, it feels like that gap is going to be too big. By the end of the evening, if, as we expect, West Brom win, or even if they draw, actually, there'll be 11 points between the top two and third. And you'd imagine we're just about coming towards halfway in the season. That's quite a difficult lead to catch up on, but we're talking about Leeds here. Leeds are the masters, the maestros at throwing away leads and bottling it. So I wouldn't quite say that it is all done yet. But it does feel like, especially over these next couple of weeks, if those sides in the playoffs continue their inconsistency and those top two continue their consistency, as I said, Leeds have won 7 straight. West Brom are on a very similar run. They've only lost one game all season. It feels like that gap could kind of get up and above 15, then it's going to be very, very difficult for those sides chasing to catch that up. Just a reminder of all the fixtures tonight. Sheffield Wednesday are away at Derby, as we were just talking about. Barnsley take on Reading. Birmingham play QPR. Brentford are up against Cardiff. Swansea play Blackburn, and Wigan take on West Brom. As I mentioned, the table toppers, West Brom, have the opportunity with a win to go back to the top of the Championship table tonight. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Fulham. Their form was really good. Four straight wins, but back-to-back defeats. That really does sum up a lot of the Championship clubs this season. But up next, we'll be talking about the side that are currently, even if it is only for 24 hours, occupying top spot. And that is Leeds.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Obviously, we've got some exciting news to bring you. You may have heard it, but we are going national on Monday, which means that you can listen to us on your digital radio no matter where you are in the UK. It won't just be here in London where you can listen to us on digital radio, whether you're going to a game on a Saturday afternoon, whether you're coming back from work on a Monday evening and you're thinking, oh, I've got the whole week ahead of me. You can put Love Sport Radio in on your digital radio and you can listen to us no matter where you are. If you're up in Hull, whether you're down in Exeter or whether you're up in the Midlands, it doesn't matter where you are in the UK. You can listen to us here on Love Sport on your digital radio no matter where you are in the UK. So brilliant news for us. Brilliant news for you listeners as well out there. Talking about Leeds, and they are in a pretty good position at this moment in time. They won last night. They won 2-0 at home against Hull, which does take them to the top of the table. Now, as I mentioned, it could only last 24 hours because West Brom are in action tonight away at Wigan, who themselves are in the relegation zone. And therefore Leeds could be knocked off at the top of the table. But as it stands, they're on a very good run, seven straight games. So they are doing pretty well at the moment. And another good performance from them. And as I mentioned earlier, they have such a good defence. They haven't, I'm fairly sure I'm right in saying they've conceded pretty much the fewest goals nearly across Europe in kind of the top couple of divisions around Europe. Only 10 goals, I believe, they've conceded all season. So defensively, they've been fantastic. In particular, Ben White at centre-back, who's on loan from Brighton. I think Leeds fans are, to say the least, a little bit surprised that they allowed him to go on loan. But when they signed him on loan, he wasn't well known at all. And he was quite an unknown quantity. So maybe he's one of those that just shot onto the scene. But I know for a fact that there have been some Liverpool scouts watching him play for Leeds this season. So he is being touted around, and Brighton, who I'm sure won't send him on loan again next season, might be having to scrap really to keep hold of him. But this Leeds side, I think we're all reticent to promoting them too much because we know what happened last season, that they were in such a phenomenal position with 2-3 months to go in the season. If you'd have said back in February that Leeds wouldn't be playing Premier League football now, I don't think many people would have really taken you seriously. They just had an almighty collapse. And it is, I think it is that pressure. I know that there'll be other factors. There always are other factors in these things. But I think it is that mental blockade for them that every single year for the last 15 years, people have been saying, when are Leeds going to get back to the Premier League? When are they finally going to get promoted from the Championship? And I think it's taken its toll that year in, year out, Leeds are constantly having to fight this battle of there's this pressure from ourselves and there's pressure from everyone else to get promoted. And I don't think that helps them at all. And you saw it last season that wasn't just a collapse. That was an almighty fall down from where they were. So I think people are, they're very reticent to try and over-egg it and thinking that they are there. As I said, at this moment in time, the way that those top two are going, the consistency they're showing in a time where so many other teams are very inconsistent, that it would seem very, very unlikely that those other teams would be able to bridge the gap. That they are now on such good runs, Leeds, seven straight wins, West Brom on a very similar run as well. By the end of the night, it could be 11 points between the top two.
and third place. So there are bigger and bigger gaps being created, and we are approaching the halfway mark. We're now 21 games for half the teams, 21 by the end of the night for all teams. So we're only a couple of games off the halfway mark in the season. We're obviously approaching Christmas as well, and that we're not at that point anymore where you're like, well, we're only 10 games into the season, so it's still so long, and there's so much that can happen, so it's not easy to read things into it. We're now over 20 games in, and so we are starting to see more and more. I think I said it off the back of the international break, both in the Premier League and in the Championship, the next 5 or 6 weeks up until the new year will determine the trajectory of the seasons for respective sides. What battles are they going to be fighting? Are they going to be in contention for a top two spot? Are they in contention for a playoff position? Are they just going to be settling for mid-table? Are they going to be in a relegation scrap? These next few games, added to the last few games, will really contribute to where these sides are going to be. And at the moment, with the consistency, the levels of consistency that both Leeds and West Brom are showing at the moment, it feels like it is going to be very difficult for everyone else to catch them up. We're just going to have to obviously wait and see. But another reasonably comfortable night, actually. Obviously, they're coming up against Hull, who are, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Hull, but they are a one-man team, really. Jared Bowen carries that side. And they managed to keep him pretty quiet. They controlled possession for a long period. There was quite a lucky own goal for Leeds for their opening goal. But the second goal was a breakaway that was phenomenal. It sealed the points. A substitute, Alioski, brilliantly steered home a rebound from a tight angle after Patrick Bamford had hit the post. And it was the transition between defence and attack that was phenomenal. At one end, Kiko Kassia makes a phenomenal save to keep it at 1-0. And then, 10 seconds later, Leeds are down the other end scoring. So, pretty good stuff there by Leeds. It shows that transition is so key in modern day football. How quickly can you get the ball from your own box into the opposition box? That one thing that defenders hate most is speed, it's pace, it's the ability to move the ball so quickly from one end to the other that it, I suppose, it doesn't matter where you are on the field. If your players are playing at pace, at speed, moving the ball quickly, it's difficult for any opposition to defend, especially in a situation where you're counter-attacking, because obviously your opposition are the ones on the attack. They're the ones pushing forward and pushing on your goal. They're therefore not organised because they're the ones attacking. And then the speed at which they move from taking the ball off Hull and then suddenly down the other end, the defence for Hull is understandably going to be all over the place, and Leeds just pick them off on the way on the counter-attack. So a fantastic way for Leeds to round off a fairly comfortable night for them. And the way they're going, I mentioned the other day how it's so surprising that when you look at the top goal scorers, none of the players from Leeds or West Brom who are running away at the top of the table, none of their players are in the top 10. Patrick Bamford is the leading goal scorer from those two sides on 7 goals so far this season. But with Leeds, you can quite clearly see the way that they go about it, that they look to get clean sheets. As I said, they've only conceded 10 goals in 21 games so far this season. They build from the back. They're confident in themselves to keep clean sheets, to not concede. And therefore, when you do that, when you only concede 10 goals in your first 21 games, you're therefore very likely to win most games. I know it sounds obvious that, in theory, if you don't concede, you only need one goal to win the game. But that's how simple it's becoming for Leeds. They're so confident in their own ability to defend. And last night, again, they're able to keep a clean sheet at home against Hull. Therefore, they only need one or two opportunities and they comfortably win the game. They get a lucky own goal, which is fortunate for them. But then the counter-attack is fantastic. And when you're 1-0 up, that's the style of play you can implement. You can play on the counter-attack because you're not the ones having to force the game. And therefore, they're able to counter-attack, win 2-0. So when you're able to keep clean sheets, when you're able to rely upon your defence to say, in a lot of games, we're not going to concede, we're going to keep clean sheets, it's suddenly football becomes a rather simple game when you're able to do that. Interestingly, obviously, we talked quite a bit about Eddie Nketiah, who is yet, I mean, it's an amazing statistic, really. He is yet to start a game in the Championship for Leeds this season. Now, he's obviously on loan from Arsenal, and there have been links with a number of other Championship clubs. Bristol City were seemingly leading that chase. Nottingham Forest also in the market for another forward. But it seems unlikely that Arsenal will recall him in January. I think Arsenal see him definitely as a part of their long-term plans. He played for them mainly in the Europa League last season, so I think a lot of Arsenal fans are very excited about his prospects and the future of that player. But very interesting that he, again, obviously doesn't start last night. Patrick Bamford seems to be, I mean, the statistics tell you this, he is his preferred choice. The simple fact of the matter is, Eddie Nketiah hasn't started a league game up top for Leeds. So that shows that Bamford is the one of choice from the start. Nketiah coming off the bench, I think you heard it a couple of months ago when he was on England under 21 duty, that he was becoming growingly frustrated at the prospect of not starting games for Leeds. But it seems unlikely he is going to go in January. He's going to stay there and have to contend with a place on the bench. But it's a pretty good place for Leeds to be. They've got Bamford from the start and then a player of Nketiah's quality off the bench. But a seventh straight win for Leeds after beating Hull by 2-0 last night. They are now top of the table. West Brom, if they win tonight, they will go back to the top. But they're in a good position at this moment in time. 11 points ahead of third place Fulham. So they're in a good place. But I think Leeds fans, as I mentioned, will be very wary of getting too carried away at this moment in time. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us Leeds fans out there, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. We want to hear from you this afternoon, sharing your views on your championship club, whether you're in action last night or whether your team is playing tonight. We want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, plenty to look forward to tonight, but also looking back at last night at Deepdale, Preston won 2-1 at home against Fulham, ending Preston's poor run of a number of consecutive losses. For Fulham, they were on a four-game winning streak, but it's now back-to-back defeats. We'll be getting the Fulham perspective next.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. And from Monday, we are going national, so you can listen to us on digital radio no matter where you are in the UK. Looking back at last night's game, one game at Deepdale between two sides right up there in the Championship. It was Preston against Fulham. Preston won by 2-1. Fulham were on a very impressive run, 4 straight wins, but back-to-back defeats will be frustrating for Fulham fans. I'm sure for our next guest, it is very, very frustrating. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Jack Collins from the Fulhamish podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jack. As I mentioned, it was 4 straight victories, but then a home loss on the weekend to Bristol City, then another loss last night away at Preston. It must be so frustrating, but that's really the Championship. Other than the top two, everyone's been inconsistent.
Absolutely. And, you know, we started before the game on Saturday in third, 2 defeats, and we're still in third place, which is, you know, kind of mind-boggling in some ways. I think when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, Kieran, I said to you that those 4 victories in a row were all well and good, but ultimately, the next 4 were going to define where Fulham's season was going to be, whether we were going to be challenging for those automatic spots or in a kind of playoff hunt. And we've seen 2 losses in a row against 5th and 7th at the time of speaking, when before the games were played. And I think that's kind of where Fulham are. We've been slightly unlucky in some senses, in that maybe Preston should have had another red card yesterday. Maybe Bristol City should have given away a penalty in the 96th minute, and maybe the second Preston goal was slightly a foul. But ultimately, I think the truth is we didn't deserve to get anything out of those 2 games. We were inferior to both sides for long periods of the game, and it's only in the kind of last 15 minutes of either where you seem to spring to life, and it's been a case of too little too late.
I suppose, as well as obviously the result being very frustrating, the fact that Preston have been in absolutely shocking form, it also ended a 423-minute goal drought. So not only is losing, but losing to a side that's so hopelessly out of form must just be a real killer blow to Fulham.
I think so. I mean, I was speaking to some Preston fans before the game. They said they felt they'd been unlucky in the streak that they'd been on, and that they'd been really suffering from injuries. They were starting to see a couple of recoveries from those injuries. But you're completely right. And, you know, David Nugent scoring for the first time in 41 games is absolutely the definition of Fulhamish in some regards. It is exactly what we expected. As soon as that statistic came up before the game, David Nugent hasn't scored in 41 games, we were like, he's scoring tonight, you know, lay your mortgage on it. So it does feel, you know, it feels like something that's happened before. I'm sure it will happen again. But ultimately the performances, I think, have been what's been most frustrating for me. We've been abject for 70 plus minutes of both games. And the truth is that we just haven't looked like we were going to win. You know, we weren't going to take points from either of the games at any given point.
And when you're away from home, Jack, obviously keeping 11 men on the field would seem to me, if I were the manager in any game of football, actually, to be honest, no matter where it's home or away, just having 11 men on the field is probably the first thing you want to see from your team. So Dennis Odoi, who I've heard has been actually in all right form, despite the fact I've slated him in the past, he's been okay over the last couple of weeks, getting sent off in the first half in a game away from home, it's making your job a whole lot harder.
Yeah, it's a rash challenge. It's a silly challenge. You know, it's one of those where there's absolutely no arguments from us that that's a red card. We're not really sure what Dennis is doing. It's his 11th red card of his career, which I think tells its own story in some ways. He has been in okay form. He was, you know, moved to the left flank yesterday to accommodate Joe Bryan getting a rest, who didn't have the best of games against his hometown club on Saturday. And we were kind of expecting it to go all right. But one of those decisions that I think he'll look back on and regret. You remember he was sent off in the playoff final 2 years ago. And, you know, he's got kind of form for this. So, yeah, he's an unpredictable character, is Dennis. I think that's why Fulham fans kind of like him. But ultimately, if you get sent off in the first half away from home, you're gonna put your team in trouble. And so it proved.
I wanted to get your views, Jack, on a few of Fulham's signings from the summer. A number of them on loan. So Ivan Cavalera came from Wolves, Anthony Knockaert came from Brighton, also Fulham side Josh Onuma, all three players started the game, although Cavalera had to come off in the first half. What have you made of those new signings and how significant an impact have they made on Fulham so far?
And Cavalera is by far the signing of those three that's made the most impact so far. He's been good. He's been direct. He seemed to fit into the kind of system that we were expecting to see. Knockaert, I think, potentially the biggest disappointment of the three. He came in off, you know, quite a quiet season, I suppose, for Brighton last year. He had 2 goals, 6 assists, I think, in the Premier League. But he only played, you know, less than half of Brighton's matches, which is kind of, well, started less than half of their games, which I suppose shows a player in decline and why they were willing to let him go. But we thought we have a former player of the season in the Championship, someone who's torn it up at this level quite regularly. And we were all very excited about Anthony Knockaert. And he's been a bit of a damp squib in many ways. It's kind of one of those players that tries really hard and maybe tries too hard in some regards, because he seems to always pick the wrong option when it comes up. Josh Onuma, I still think we're starting to... He's getting a lot of stick from Fulham fans, Josh Onuma, and he hasn't played many games. He's still very, very young, and I don't think he's the person to blame. He seems to become a bit of a scapegoat in many regards. But, you know, ultimately, he set up the goal yesterday. He played really well, I thought, in the first half against Swansea, where he set up another goal, potentially by accident, but won the ball back really well in the build-up to that Alexander Mitrovic second. I don't think he's been as bad as some people have made out, if I'm being perfectly honest. I don't think he's been great, and I wouldn't have him starting in the team at the weekend against Brentford if Tierney and Johansson are fit. But I think he's become a little bit of a scapegoat in some regards, because he looks a little bit clumsy when he's on the ball.
By the end of tonight, Jack, Fulham could be 11 points off the top two. Even if West Brom were to lose, it would still be 10 points off the top two. Do you think that the way it's going, the consistency that those top two sides have shown, that realistically a top two spot is really out of the question for Fulham?
I don't think it's out of the question. I think it's still too early to be suggesting that, you know, either of those teams couldn't fall away. You know what injuries can do to a team. We saw Leeds' collapse last season and the season before, to be fair. So I don't think it's out of the question to suggest that the automatics are up. But I think if Fulham continue to display the form we're currently showing, then there's absolutely no way we're going to be the ones, even if they did fall away, challenging for those automatic spots. I think Leeds and West Brom will have enough in the tank, if I'm being perfectly honest, this season. I think Leeds have seen themselves fall away too many times, that this time they just physically won't be able to let that happen. And I think West Brom are probably the most well-drilled side in the division. So it could be those two running away with it. We could have the top two set by February. I hope not. I hope the Fulham find a vein of form and we do keep on their tails. But at the moment, it looks unlikely.
And just finally, Jack, looking ahead to Fulham's next game, it's away at Brentford on the weekend. So good London derby. I think if I'd have asked you this question a week ago when Fulham had won four straight games, the answer might have been slightly different. Has the confidence waned a little bit after back-to-back defeats?
I think there was always nerves. You know, like I said to you, those four wins were against sides a little bit lower down the table at places that weren't in particularly good form. And actually, we always thought it was actually here we were going to find out how good we are. I don't think confidence has waned. I think we're all a bit worried about the weekend, if I'm being perfectly honest. You know, Brentford are a good side and they've showed that again this year, especially in the last couple of months where they've started to click a bit. That said, they're almost as inconsistent as we are in some regards. Obviously, lost yesterday, which is good because it means that they're not flying wildly high when we come to town. But I imagine they're going to be up for it. The last ever Fulham-Brentford derby at Griffin Park. And it's got something they're going to definitely want to win. I imagine we're going to be trying to put the shackles on them. It's something I'm looking forward to. I'm sure it'll be a good day out until the football starts, and then we'll kind of see.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jack. That was Jack Collins from the Fulhamish podcast. Fulham losing 2-1 last night at Preston. They're back in action away from home again on the weekend, away at Brentford.
This is Love Sport.